You know, I was thinking about my dad, and I was thinking about the legacy that he has left me, and man, I could seriously tell you stories upon stories where you probably would be laughing so hard, because my dad is such a character. I remember one time he decided that my dad loves auctions, and he decided that he's always looking for a good deal, and so he decided that he was going to buy a bunch of wooden toilet seats. And so we got a bunch of wooden toilet seats. He put them all in the back of my mom's car, and this was back in the day when if you go to the grocery store, they would load your, I mean, now you check yourself out, you know, you check yourself out, you bag your own stuff, you do all this stuff. Well, this was a small town grocery store, and so everyone knew each other, and so they loaded the groceries into the back of the car, and my mom didn't realize that all these wooden toilet seats were in the back of the car, and so she's like, you can just put it in the back, and so popped the back up, and the poor kid came forward. He's like, ma'am, there's no room in there. She's like, why? He's like, there's a bunch of wooden toilet seats in the back of your car, and so, oh my goodness, it's crazy. And another time my dad was at an auction, and we have an old barn, we live out in the country, he bought a bunch of doors, and he decided that he was going to use the doors as walls in our barn, and so he puts up all these doors, and so if you can imagine, you're hanging out with your friends, you go to the barn, and in the barn, there's just like 5 dozen doors that are lined up along the, and only one of them actually opens up, and so, oh man, my dad, I could tell you stories upon stories of crazy things that he's done. And I remember when I was younger, I really felt like I was kind of embarrassed, you know, my dad would do crazy stuff, and I was kind of embarrassed, but I feel like the longer I've, you know, the older I've gotten, it's like, oh my goodness, I go home, and I just, there's my dad, I just, memories of my father doing crazy things, and he still does crazy things, and he's really left a good legacy for us kids. There's 6 of us. I have 5 sisters. There's 6 of us. We all grew up in southeastern Minnesota, out in the country, and up on a gravel road. And he worked for several years at the Mayo Clinic. And my mom stayed home, and she homeschooled all of us. And so he really left a good legacy. And he had us in church, and we had devotions every night. We prayed before every meal. He really left a good legacy. And I was just thinking about him, and I was thinking about the legacy that parents can leave, or that dads can leave, or moms can leave, and I was actually drawn to the book of Deuteronomy, which is kind of an interesting book to go to, but I was drawn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and if you guys want to turn there, I'm just going to give you a little bit of context to what's happening here. Deuteronomy means second law. It means repetition or repeat law, and you realize, did God give a second law? He actually didn't. What happened was he gave the law of Moses on Mount Sinai while the people were wandering in the wilderness. And when they came to the brink of the promised land, as they were looking out over the Jordan River, maybe seeing Jericho in the distance, Moses wrote down again the things that God had given them earlier in their journey. And so he's repeating some of the things that we can read in the book of Leviticus and the book of Exodus. And so he is, I don't know if you can imagine Moses there. He'd been leading the people of Israel for a long time. They'd been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And he knew that God had promised him that he was going to lead the people out of captivity. But he also knew that his leadership was coming to an end. And he knew that he was going to be passing the baton. And literally there was going to be a passing of the baton from one leader to the next, from one generation to the next. You know what I'm talking about? So he's sitting there, and he's thinking about the things that God had spoken to him, the law that God had given him, and he knew that his end was near. And I don't know if you guys know, last words are very important, but they're even more important when you know that they're your last words. And so he's sitting there, and he's rewriting down the things that God had already given to them, and he's emphasizing some things that he was going to promote to the next generation, his legacy as a leader, his legacy as a follower of God. And so here we are in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to be starting in verse 1. It says this. It says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord our God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Again, imagine he's looking out. I almost imagine him sitting on a hill, looking out, seeing the Jordan and seeing Jericho in the distance. so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of these decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. He's speaking specifically of the prophetic promise that was given to Abraham. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be in your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk around the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your hearts and on your gates. God, again, we just ask that you speak to us this morning. We ask that you minister to us this morning. I just pray that you open our hearts, God. I pray that we may be people that leave a legacy, that leave a good legacy, Father. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Kind of wonder, how do you leave a legacy? Here's Moses hanging out, looking out over the promised land, thinking about what to write, and this is what he writes. This is what he pens. And I was looking at it, and I just wrote down some thoughts. Can you guys say, be the first example? Say it one more time. Be the first example. Man, be the first example. One more time. Be the first example. Be the first example. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. God is speaking through Abraham, speaking through Moses, and Moses is charging the people of Israel. But it's interesting because it isn't necessarily just a single generation charge, is it? Like it starts with us, but there's more involved. Your children and their children. It's more than just one person. It's more than just us. This is kind of the way that I look at it a little bit. So, let's see here. Paul, would you come up here for a second? All right. Can we give Paul a hand? Yes, Paul. And very handsome, correct? And could we also get Truett to come up here? Is that okay, Truett? Can we give Truett a hand as well? Mr. Truett. And for today's example, could I also get Chase to come forward as well? Thank you very much, Mr. Chase. Can we give Chase a hand as well? He did not wear his, everyone else wore a Star Wars shirt. So when God looks at us, he sees you, Paul. He sees your talents. He sees your gifts. He sees that you like Star Wars. He sees that you like to play the guitar. He sees that you like to prune your grapes. He sees that you have these opportunities to bless people. He sees everything that you have. He sees your passions. He sees the good things about you. He sees the bad things about it. He knows everything about Paul, right? Paul's a great guy, right? Can we give him another hand? But this is the truth. When God looks at Paul, he doesn't just look at Paul, but he also looks at what's coming after Paul as well. So Paul, you're a great guy, but I'm going to ask you to step aside just for a second. And he also sees Truett. And Truett's a great guy as well. Can we give Truett a hand? Yeah, Truett's a wonderful guy. And Bennett's clapping like a wild man. And Truett has lots of passions. He loves video games. He loves mowing lawns. He loves Star Wars. He loves, I don't even know all the things that he loves hanging out with his friends. He But God has also given Truett talents and gifts and things that he wants to use for the kingdom of God as well. So he not only sees Paul, and he wants Paul to follow him, but he also wants Truett to follow him and Truett to pursue him as well. And we're going to pretend that, well, I don't know if this works. But we want us to pretend that, let's say, Truett had a son named Chase, who he names after his brother, right? So even beyond Truett, God sees the blessings beyond Truett. Does that make sense? So when there is a, so the blessings, Paul, come back up here for just one more second. So the blessings that God has for us as fathers or as parents isn't just a blessing that he wants to bless upon Paul, but it's a blessing that he wants to bless upon Truett, and it's a blessing that he wants to bless upon Truett's son Chase down the road, right? Like, there's a blessing, there's a, like, his vision does not end with you. Did you realize that? It doesn't end with you. It doesn't end with your gifts and talents and abilities, and as awesome as Paul is, and as great as he is, and as amazing as he is, God's plans for Paul don't stop with Paul. They move on to Paul's son, Truett, and to Truett's son, Chase, and to, you know, like, you know, there's the God sees us as individuals, but he also sees us as generational people. Amen? Okay, you guys can go sit down. Thank you. Can we give him one more hand? Thanks for the illustration today. God sees you, but he also sees you generationally. And God, in his great knowledge and his understanding of the expanse of time and the universe, he sees all of your talents. He sees all of your quirks. He sees all of your things. But God also sees past you. He sees right past you. He sees past you. God wants to use you to reach your kids. He wants to use you to reach your grandkids. He wants you to reach your great-grandkids and your great-great-grandkids and your great-great-great-grandkids. Like, God sees, he sees you, but he also sees past you. He is a God who is knowledgeable, and he understands the expanse of time. God works from generation to generation to generation, and he does not want us to be a one-hit wonder or a one-generational wonder. Man, I want to leave a legacy for the kingdom of God, and I want you to leave a legacy for the kingdom of God. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, my parents didn't have a significant spiritual impact on my life. You know, I don't have a dad that threw wooden toilet seats in the trunk of the car, or a dad that put a bunch of doors in the barn. I don't have a dad that was able to instill godly values in me. Maybe you don't have parents that there was a significant spiritual impact on your life, or maybe you came from a broken home, or maybe you didn't have the opportunity to be in church or to have a godly influence in your life. I want to encourage you to be the first example. To be the first example. You know, the greatest use of your life is not to waste it, not to waste it on things. It's not to spend it on things. Man, I like to spend money sometimes. Aaron and I were just talking about getting an electric bike. Yeah. She said, do it. I said, I don't know. She said, do it. I don't know. They're expensive. The greatest use of our life isn't to waste it or to spend it, but the greatest use of our life, I believe, is to invest it on something that will outlast it. Did you know in Scripture there are only a couple of things that will last forever? Only a couple of things that really, truly matter. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We know that God's word is something that will last forever, right? That's crazy, because you can go to it and you can read it and it can speak to you and minister to you, and you can read it again and it speaks to you again, and you can go through a difficult time and you read it, you're like, oh my goodness, it speaks to you again, you're having a good reading. It's crazy how it's alive and it's living and active, isn't it? And it's crazy how you can read the story once and then you can read it again, and God keeps on, like, his word is an eternal book. It's a It's a holy book. It's an amazing book. It's a life-changing book. It's the best-selling book of all time, the most popular book of all time. Like listen, if you're looking to invest in something beyond the stock market, beyond your house, beyond your electric bike, beyond the jet ski, whatever, the word of the Lord is timeless and true. But the other thing that will last forever is people. Thought about that? And ultimately, in the end of time, we can read through the Bible, we can see that ultimately at the end of time, there's going to be a couple different places that we can end up in, right? Invest in people. Invest in the Word of God. Invest in people. Be the first example. Another thing that I was reading as I was looking through this, I was studying this, not only to be the first example, but also to love God with everything. To love God with everything. Can you guys say that? Love God with everything. One more time. Love God with everything. Love God with everything. Now you got to remember that the Israelites were about to embark on a new journey, a new season. They were no longer going to be wandering in the wilderness. They were no longer going to be eating manna. They were no longer going to be following a pillar of fire and a cloud. They were going to be entering a new land with abundance, a new land flowing with milk and honey, a new land with new gods to be temptation, with new people, with new struggles, so they were going out of a land of scarcity into a land of plenty, and now more than ever, during this time of transition, they needed to remember the God who led them out of captivity. Moses was reminding them they were going into there's going to be a new leader, there's going to be a new land, there's going to be new gods, there's going to be new temptations, and he was reminding them to keep God at the center. I'm thinking, man, isn't that so true? That often it's in the times of transition that we have to remember to keep God at the center of our lives. You know? During the stressful times, we have to remember. You know, I'm thinking of times in my life where I've been jobless, homeless, almost carless. My car was pretty bad. And it was in those moments I had to remember to not freak out, but to keep God at the center of everything that I was doing. It's in times of transition. Remember to keep God at the center. It's interesting because in verse 4, if you look at that verse real quick, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then in verse 5, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." I'm going to read that one more time. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Now, I don't know if you realize this, but this Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, is actually called the Shema. Can you guys say Shema? And this is probably the most famous prayer that the Jewish people actually, even still today, they twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening, they say this prayer. And for Orthodox Jews, it's very, very important. Once in the morning, once in the evening, they sit down and they say this prayer. It's interesting because the word Shema actually comes from the word hear there. The word hear in Hebrew is Shema. And so it's quoted twice a day. It's very important. It's very significant. In fact, it's so significant that, I don't know if you guys remember the story in Mark chapter 12 where an expert in the law came up to Jesus and asked him what was the most important commandments. In Mark chapter 12, he actually quotes this. He answered, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." And so, like, the people understood how significant this was. But the word Shema, the word hear there, is interesting because it actually means more than just hear. It means pay attention. It means focus. It actually even has the connotation of obey. So when you think about listen, hear, obey, focus, pay attention, I think sometimes we lose that in the English rendition of it. But essentially what's happening here is God is speaking. And he's like, listen, I need you to listen. I need you to focus. I need you to pay attention. I need you to realize that you're going to be going into a new season with a new leader, new temptations, new things, and I need you to make sure that you love God with everything. Love him with all your heart. Love him with all your soul. Love him with all your strength. Love him with all your heart. Love him with all your soul. Man, love him with all your strength. Man, I think even now, like 3,400 years later, it's like I think about this request to love God with everything, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. It's like, man, there are even temptations now, aren't there? If we think about the temptations that they were facing, they were in a time of transition, new things were happening. But, man, I feel like, and I don't know if anyone else, but I feel like one of my temptations is busyness. Man, life is so busy. You know, I do stuff for the church, I do stuff for the bank, I do stuff with the family, I do stuff with the kids. Life is so busy. I feel like busyness gets in the way of loving God with everything. Anyone else? I feel like compromise a lot of times is a way that it's like, you know what? I'm just gonna follow God a little bit. I'm just gonna pursue him a little bit. I have things that I have to do and a mission that I must accomplish and compromise. But he says, listen, love God with everything. Last point, then I'll let you guys out of here. How to leave a legacy. Teach with purpose. Teach with purpose. The text says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. Teach with purpose. And if you want to leave a legacy, make spiritual conversations normal. Share what God is teaching in you. I think it's interesting that he says, write them on your door frames and on your gates. He's literally telling the people to, like decorate their homes with these things. And Orthodox Jews, even to this day, actually literally do this. They have small leather boxes that contain portions of scripture, and they strap them on their hands and put them on their foreheads, and they pray. But it's like this visual representation to, like, God needs to guide your thoughts, and God needs to guide your actions as well, your home and in your gates. Your home should point people to the God that you serve. And you want to build a legacy that will last. Be the first example. Love God with everything that you have. And teach with purpose. Be the first example. Love God with everything that you have. And teach with purpose. You know, there's a reason why we're having a VBS in about a month. It's because we are trying to strategically place ourselves to teach kids with purpose. How do you leave a lasting legacy? Be the first example. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and teach with purpose. Today, God, we come before you. And we realize that, man, life is short. It's but a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. God, we know that you see us, but also we know that you see past us. And you see our children and our children's children and our children's children's children. And God, we just pray right now that, man, you will lead us so that we can be an example. God, we pray that we can be salt and light to the community, but more than that today, we pray that we'll be salt and light to our families. Father, maybe there are some people here this morning that have been going through a time of transition. They've been going through a time of anxiety or fear. Maybe there's been some changes in their life. Maybe there's been some difficulties that have been going on in their life, God. And I just pray that they will, man, that they'll pursue you and that they'll realize that you are their refuge and their strength and their ever-present help in time of trouble, Father. God, I pray, maybe there are some people here this morning that have been distracted by compromise or distracted by busyness or distracted by all the things that the world has to offer, Father. And I pray this morning, Father, that you'll draw them in closer to you, that your Holy Spirit will prick their hearts and remind them that they need to pursue you with everything that they have, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, God. God, I pray that as we go home and as we, maybe our kids are at the house or whatever, God, I pray that we will be people that teach with purpose, God. I pray that you will be the center of our minds. You'll be the center of our actions, God. I just pray that we will be people of legacy, that leave a legacy for our kids and for our grandkids and our great-great-grandkids, Father. May you be glorified. May you be magnified, God. As we sing this song one last time, I just pray that your Spirit will continue to speak in your holy name.